It's quite amazing that you come with a word that you believe the Lord. So it's quite amazing that you come believing the Lord has given you a word to share, and then through the worship and through the prayers, the sermon is preached. So maybe I should just sit down. But yes, the Lord is speaking, and I think he's speaking very powerfully. And during worship, I saw lots of chains being snapped, and it was chains maybe of pain that's holding people back. And I just pray that as we progress through this word, that the Lord will indeed break chains, if there are chains that are holding you back through pain, being brokenhearted, or whatever else it is. So this morning, I want to think about a question that is a very tricky question, and it's the question, why? And Stevie, he spoke in one of his prayers, he said, God works all things together for good. I wonder this morning, do you believe that? If you think back to the things that you've experienced in your life, I know one of the experiences I had, I thought, how can any good come of this? And I remember specifically standing in church with my sons beside me. My husband had taken his own life, and I was standing with my three sons, and it felt like I was challenging God. And I said, Lord, how can all things work together for good? How can any good come out of a situation like this? And 19 years on, with retrospect, I can see so many incredible things that have come out of it. The situation wasn't good, and that's exactly the same for each person here who's going through something. The situation is not good, but God can bring good out of it. So that word is part of what I was going to say as well. So God is speaking this morning. And Stevie has spoken a lot to us about go deeper in prayer, depend more in the Holy Spirit. That's something I really want. Is it something you want? Yeah. I've prayed that prayer. Lord, take me deeper. Lord, help me to depend more in the Holy Spirit. And guess what happens when you do that? You can't do it in your own strength. I've tried. You maybe go up a slight level and you think, yeah, Lord, I'm spending more time. I'm doing more devotions, so on and so forth. But the thing that really takes us deeper and that propels us into that place of prayer and pressing in prayer and depending on the Holy Spirit is the challenges we're facing. And as Stevie prayed this morning, lots of people in here are in very challenging situations. They're struggling with life. Things are happening that we're not understanding. Maybe we have that why question. But it propels us, or can propel us, because we do have a certain amount of choice in this, once we've recovered from the shock, it propels us into praying and coming closer to God, depending on the Holy Spirit, because we don't have anything else we can do. What else can we do but depend on the Holy Spirit in certain circumstances? And as a congregation, there's definitely a sense that I have in my spirit that God is preparing this church, individuals, for his plans and purposes. And it's for the church, but it's for the community. It's for what's happening out there in the world. It's our preparation. I wonder if you've noticed over the last couple of months that there's been a theme continually running through the sermons. And today it was very, very obvious. A few weeks ago, Beck gave a word in tongues, and she spoke about a hammer smashing and crushing. Do you feel like that this morning? Do you feel you're being hammered and crushed? I think a lot of people do. Well, I realized this was a warning from God. God was preparing us. He was telling us there's a smashing, there's a crushing. You need to be ready. How do you get ready? Sometimes life takes you by surprise. And just as this word came, I felt I was being smashed and hammered. And it did take me by surprise for a bit. And then you get your balance back and you press into God, just as we've been saying. You pray, you depend on the Holy Spirit, and you start to balance a wee bit. So we had that word. And God is faithful. He wants to prepare us. And I believe he wants to give us keys. And again, Stevie's spoken a lot about keys. Keys. God's given us keys. And I just feel I've picked up over the last few months keys that God's given us to encourage us and to keep us pressing into his will for his kingdom to come in this place. Despite life's challenges, preparation is key. If we're prepared, the enemy won't take us by surprise by what he throws at us. If we have a certain amount of preparation, we'll be ready. So this morning is about, I believe, God helping us to get ready, encouraging us to stand firm, to support each other. We need each other. I couldn't get through half the things I've come through without friends or people supporting me and praying for me and helping me. So last month, Peter Hall was here and he encouraged us to worship. He spoke about worship and how if you're in a time of stress or challenge, when you worship, it takes you above it. And I'm sure you've all been there. So that's a key and a weapon that we need in challenging times. Then the following week, David Meldrum, he encourages to start seeing things from God's perspective. Now, how difficult is that when you're in the middle of something? All you're seeing is with your human eyes. But when you lift yourself above it, you can see sometimes from God's perspective. And that is something that's quite a difficult thing from as far as I'm concerned to do. Last week, Sam's preached an amazing sermon on peace, that shalom peace. And we see it as a witness to his life and what he's gone through, that that is a key. If you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding, you can get through lots of stuff. It helps you to survive. So thank you so much for that, Psalms. It was so encouraging. So this morning, I want us to think a wee bit about our challenges, the whys in our life, and try and get some keys that will help us through any crisis that we might face. So I want to start with a true story that leaves us with many why questions. So on 15th of February, 1947, a young man called Glenn Chambers, whose dream was to work for God in Ecuador with the ministry, the Voice of the Andes. He was at the airport on the day of departure, and he had an envelope with a stamp on it to send to his mum. And he thought, oh, I want to write her a note, but I don't have a card. So he saw a piece of paper on the airport floor, picked it up. On the back of the paper, it was an advert for something. It said, why? And that was all it said. So he scribbled his note round about the question why, put it in the envelope, posted it to his mum. That night, his plane exploded when he hit the Colombian peak, El Tablazo. His mum received the news of his death, and then a few days later, she got this note, which she took out, and it said, why? And I'm sure she already had that question in her mind. So this why question kept going through her mind all the time. Why, why? But before she went to bed, she wrote down some words. God is too kind to do anything cruel. Too wise to make a mistake. Too deep to explain himself. Of all the questions that we can ask, I think why is the most tormenting, and it accompanies every tragedy. Nothing can prepare us for such moments. Do you have a major why? Do you have that big question in your life? Things that are incomprehensible? I do, and I did. And it takes time to come to terms with why questions, or you don't even ask them. So how do we discover God's perspective on this? How can it make any sense at all? Well, it's a question that philosophers and theologians over centuries have wrestled with, and they haven't come up with an answer. So what chance have we got? We have just to live with what happens and try and come to terms with it. This morning, I can't give you a simple and realistic answer because there is none. But I hope to give you some thoughts on how to navigate heartbreaking situations that we might find ourselves in and how we can help others and help others who find themselves in similar situations. Drawing together keys that have been given to us over the last few weeks. So my first suggestion is that in this suffering, God transforms us. In the midst of it, we don't feel that, but with retrospect, we can sometimes see that, that our suffering has transformed us. It's changed us into a completely different person, somebody God can actually use. It's at these moments that we have to grasp the word of God, his promises to us, and hold on to them, and depend more on the Holy Spirit. Moments of weakness. We don't have resources. Who do we go to? Who else can we go to? We depend on God and we depend on the Holy Spirit to help us. Could I have slide two? Oh, I'm going to work this, aren't I? This one. There we go. So, a reference is always the Bible. And there's lots of examples in the Bible of people who have suffered greatly and people who've been transformed by their suffering. And there's two I want to look at this morning very briefly. One of them's Job. He's the first person who comes to mind. The other one, Joseph. And we've heard quite a lot about Joseph over the last few weeks as well. So, Job, he was a righteous man. He was a good man who followed God's ways. And it says there was no fault to be found in him. So it wasn't said because of sin that he experienced all these things. He was righteous. He was sinless, or as sinless as a man or a woman can be. So what happened to him? Well, someone came and said, you've lost your livestock. They've been stolen. Your sheep and camels were also destroyed. Your employees were murdered. Oh, and one more thing. Your children were crushed in a freak windstorm. They're all dead, all 10 of them. And then if that wasn't enough, he broke out in boils from head to foot. He was grief-stricken, stunned, bankrupt, in excruciating pain in body and spirit. At a total loss to explain even one of them, never mind all of the tragedies that had happened to him. And the heavens were mute. He wasn't hearing anything from God. He was crying out, but he was hearing nothing. No explanation for his suffering. I know the first thing I thought when I lost my husband, I thought, Lord, have I really sinned? And maybe it's a human, a natural response. And I looked at my life and I thought, well, maybe, maybe not. And then Job's wife, the person who you would think would support him, she said, curse God and die. And he said, you sound like a fool, woman. Shall we only accept good from God and never adversity? So that leads to a big thing, God allowing adversity in our lives. So Job was honest about what he felt and what had happened. He didn't try to mask his feelings about God and his situation. And I think that's important, to be honest, not to pretend, yes, we're fine, thank you, Lord. You know, that doesn't work. Be human. We have emotions. We have feelings. And be honest with God and somebody trusted. So he held on to the truth of God and who he knew God was, and that stopped him from drowning completely. But he must have wondered, what on earth is going on? Why are you allowing this, all these tragedies, Lord? But if you think of Job's life, he has encouraged so many suffering believers over thousands of years. When you read his story, somehow your story doesn't seem quite so bad. And he asked the why question 16 times. So we're allowed to ask why. Then we come to Joseph. He was sold by his brothers as a slave. He was falsely accused and imprisoned unjustly. Innocent. In prison for years and years. Following God's ways and staying faithful. And then he finds great favor. And he becomes the second most important person in Egypt. And later, he says, God meant it for good. So all the suffering, he could see God's perspective later on, that God meant it for good. Does God mean our suffering for good? How can that be? So if what God's building with our pain may be so great that we will never see the full scope of it. We don't know what he's doing with it. But when we can't see the purposes behind our suffering and have a tangible sense of God's presence, we have to rely on what we know of God and his nature and what he's promised. And that's exactly what Job did. There we go. No, wrong one. Okay. So suffering. So this issue here is the most frequently raised objection to the Christian faith. We're constantly confronted by suffering. There's no getting away from it in the world, is there? The fact suffering, it constitutes the single greatest challenge that we have. Last week I had a workman in the house and he spotted my Bible and another couple of things and he said, "What you get that for?" I said, "I'm a Christian and, you know, I worked in a church." And he went, "Oh," he says, "I can't believe in all that. What about all this suffering? What about the earthquakes? What about the, you know, everything that happens to people? I can't believe in God because of that." So it's a very common reason. Suffering causes people to disbelieve. And sometimes Christians, through their suffering, because they don't hold on, they lose faith and trust in God as well. So suffering on a global scale affects nations. We've had recent earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. Suffering at community level. We recently had the anniversary last week, the 25th anniversary of Dunblane. And then we have all our personal sufferings, bereavement, sickness, disability, broken relationships, unhappy marriages, singleness, depression, the list goes on and on. Unemployment, injustice, disappointment, it can come in all shapes and forms, and no one is immune to it. C.S. Lewis, he said, "Suffering is used by God to draw us to Christ. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain." And Paul tells us that we can absolutely be sure that God is working in his life. It was the scripture we started with. "We know that all things work together for good." That means good things, things that are not so good. God works for good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. And this, again, has proved true time and time again in the Christian experience. Oops. I'm not doing very well with this. So Smith Wigglesworth, who most of you know, had a remarkable healing ministry. And he said, he didn't have a straightforward life. He had a lot of challenges too. "Great faith is a product of great fights." You in a fight right now? "Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests." You'll have a testimony when you come through this test. "Great triumphs can only come after great trials." So you've got a triumph to look forward to. So God never told Job why he was suffering, but he told him there was a good reason. He pointed out that Job knew very little about the universe, very little about God, and he just asked him to trust him. And he's asking us this morning to just trust him, whatever you're going through. Just trust God. He's got the big picture. He's got the perspective we don't have. So the big question is then, how do we respond to suffering? When we're suffering, we'll not always be able to work out the why. What advice does God give us? What advice have we been given over the last few weeks on how to face suffering? Well, 1 Thessalonians 6:16 to 18 tells us, rejoice always. Can you rejoice in your suffering? Can you praise God even when you're suffering? We heard that way back, you know, from Peter. Praise God, rejoice. We can do it. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. We need gratitude and thanksgiving. We need trust to realize our perspective is different from God's and try to see it from God's perspective. Rely on what we know of God's character, that he's faithful, he's trustworthy, he loves you. And then go deeper in the word, in prayer, and depending on the Holy Spirit. Now, Viktor Frankl, who some of you know of, he has some very deep insight into suffering. He was a Jewish Austrian. He was a neurologist. He was a psychiatrist, a psychologist. And he survived the horrors, terrible horrors, of Nazi concentration camps and observed how it affected him and how it affected people round about him in their suffering. And he describes that search for life's meaning as the central human motivational force, that when bad things happen, we need a reason. We need to find meaning in it. And there's a couple of quotes here I've taken from him. That everything can be taken from man but one thing. The last of the human freedoms. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. So here's the key. Whatever your circumstances, you have a choice in how you approach them and how you react to them. Sometimes we don't think we've got a choice because our emotions take over or things happen and we don't feel we have a choice. From his observations, he said we do have a choice, and that choice can be a lifesaver. It's an incredible key. And then he says, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we're challenged to change ourselves. Situations can't be changed. They can't be changed sometimes. So we have to change how we live in them. And then in some ways, suffering ceases to be suffering at the moment it finds a meaning. Finding meaning in your suffering. And this is where God really helps us to find meaning through his word. And I'll come on to that in a minute. When you find meaning in your suffering, it helps you. I'm not doing well at all. Here we are. No. Try again. Am I going backwards now? Oh, yes. Here we go. I need a new battery, or is it just me? Okay. So here we're back to Joseph, who has God's perspective. God intending it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Will your situation save many lives? It'll probably help an awful lot of people, because God tells us that he comforts us so that we can comfort those who are in similar situations. And sometimes when you're in that place, you're like, well, I'm not sure I'm able to do that. But God helps you and he brings you through. He doesn't make the situations we've experienced good, but he brings us through so that we can help others. And here we are. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Yeah. There's your purpose and your meaning. That whatever you're going through, there's somebody you can help. There's somebody you can get alongside and help. Because really, people who suffer, they want to be ministered to by people who have suffered. I'm part of an organization called SOBS, and it's Survivors of Bereavement by Suicide, and I'm a volunteer with that. And people who come onto the Zoom calls or go to the meetings, They want people who can understand, who've been there, who've experienced that. And I think it's the same in every situation. We want somebody who can identify, who understands our pain, and we can get alongside them. So no matter what you're going through, meaning can come out of it. So we started with Glenn Chambers, his story, his mother's question, the question she received, the why. We know that God works all things together for good. Do we believe that good can come out of this situation at all? Or is it a stretch to see that any good can come out of that young man being involved in a plane crash? Okay, so Glenn Chambers, on his way to Quito, Ecuador, to be a missionary, to devote his whole life to God's call, plane crashes into a mountain, as we said, and the twisted wreck falls into a heap. It seems that his lifelong dream of serving God had been aborted. God's perspective. Had it? So some years later, another missionary was in a remote area of the Colombian Andes where missionaries had never been, and that was the call in Glen Chambers. He was called to go where no one had been before. So this other young missionary's there, and she shares the gospel with the family. And while she's sharing it, the father interrupts her, and he says, "We already know about Jesus. We're all believers." And she was shocked. She says, "How do you know about Jesus?" Because nobody had been to that area. And the father shared that years before, one of the men in the village had come across the charred suitcase and opened it up, and there was a Spanish Bible. And they took it to their village. So they got the Bible and they showed it to this other missionary, and she opened it up. And guess what the name was that was in the flyleaf? It was Glen Chambers. It was his Bible. And a whole village had been converted through this. So we may never know why things happen like they do. We may never know when and how our trials will be turned into triumphs. But we know one thing. We know the character of God, and that he's faithful, and that he works all things together for good. So we're now going to listen to a song. And it's based on what Job said ultimately. He said, "Though you slay me, yet will I praise you. So even though, Lord, these things are afflicting me, I will praise you." So I would like, as you listen to this, just to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, to minister to the deep, painful, hurting parts in you. You're in a safe place. And just let this minister to you. Thank you.
For me. Not only is all your affliction momentary, not only is all your affliction light in comparison to eternity and the glory there, but all of it is totally meaningful. Every millisecond of your pain from the fallen nature or fallen man, every millisecond of your misery in the path of obedience is producing a peculiar glory you will get because of that. I don't care if it was cancer or criticism. I don't care if it was slander or sickness. It wasn't meaningless. It's doing something. It's not meaningless. Of course you can't see what it's doing. Don't look to what is seen. When your mom dies, when your kid dies, when you've got cancer at 40, when a car careens into the sidewalk and takes her out, don't say, it's meaningless. It's not. It's working for you an eternal weight of glory. Therefore, do not lose heart, but take these truths and day by day, focus on them. Preach them to yourself every morning. Get alone with God and preach His word into your mind until your heart sings with confidence that you are new and cared for.
You slay me, yet I will praise you. Though you take from me, I will bless your name. Though you ruin me, still I will worship, sing a song.
Let's just finish in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the keys that you've given us this morning. Lord, we say, we proclaim that we trust you. Whatever we're going through, we trust you. That there's a peculiar glory there when we don't understand. And we just ask that you would help us to see things from your perspective, from eternity's perspective. And that you would keep us strong, Lord, and filled with that peace that passes all understanding. And that you would help us to get alongside each other and comfort others with the comfort that you have given us. So bless each one of us, Lord, as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Angela. Such an encouragement today. As a pastor, you get to know people, and when people are living what they preach, it gives them an authority to say what they say. And I know that Angela lives what she preaches. Just as I said about Sam's last week, that he's lived out what he was speaking about. The onus on each one of us is to find that way to live out our faith. The Christian faith is a lived out faith, and in our why. We need to just press into God. And just to sort of turn it round just a fraction, I hope you don't mind me saying this, Angela, to quote Viktor Frankl again, he's quoting somebody else, and he says, he who has a why to live for can bear with almost any how. He who has a why to live for can bear with almost any how. God has given us a purpose. He gives our life meaning. He gives our life direction. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. So let's keep pressing in. And thank you, Angela, again, for summarizing what God has been saying over a number of weeks now. So good to hear that summary for me as well today, and just to know that God is speaking into the life of the church. He's so desperate to have a relationship with us and to speak into our lives, more so than we are to seek him out. So let's continue to seek him and to press into what God has for us. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, I just pray for every person, every individual, every family that constitutes this church, And Lord, we pray that you take us deeper into you, deeper into that relationship with you. And Father, in our challenges and our circumstances, Father, we pray, may we find you in the circumstances in a fresh way. Lord, may we be fueled by what you speak into our lives. You are the bread of life. You're the one who sustains us. And Father, we recognize that we don't live on just physical food alone, but Father, we live by every word that proceeds from your mouth. And so, Father, may we receive your word into our hearts. Even today, Father, may we receive your word into our hearts. And Lord, may you bring transformation in us as we find ourselves in the challenging circumstances. So, Lord, bless us as we go. Bless this Mother's Day. And, Father, bless our time together as families today, whatever we end up doing. And, Lord, we know that you'll walk with us throughout this day and throughout this week. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you and have a great day.